Everything is in a constant state of decay. From our bodies to the physical universe all around us, there's not anything that is not moving towards death. Anything that is unattended turns into chaos. Try not cleaning your house for a week and see what happens. You know, our planet is decaying fast. Our star, the sun, the thing that keeps our planet warm, helps grow food for us, it too is in a state of decay. Now, so much money is spent to keep up our cars, our homes, the infrastructure of roads, cities, but everything breaks down. And this is all due to a law. And it's the second law of thermodynamics, or entropy. I've often been curious about entropy. But as I was studying for this sermonette, it became apparent that I was in way over my head. You see, the subject matter and the math to explain entropy is very thick. So I've taken some of the things that I was reading and tried to condense them to be a little bit more palatable. So thermodynamics is the study of heat power, which studies the efficiency of energy transfer and exchange. So what does energy transfer have to do with decay? Well, it is known in science that when things are left to themselves, chemical compounds ultimately break down into simpler materials. They don't ultimately become more complex. Now, outside forces can increase order for a time through the expenditure of relatively large amounts of energy and through the input of design, but such reversal can't last forever. You know, once the force is released, processes return back to their natural direction, or greater disorder. You know, their energy is transformed into lower levels of availability for further work. The natural tendency of complex, ordered arrangements and systems is to become simpler and more disorderly with time. Now, evolution claims that over billions of years, everything is basically developing upwards, becoming more orderly and complex. But this basic law of science, this second law of thermodynamics, it says the opposite. Instead, the pressure is downwards towards simplification and disorder. You know, all experimental and physical observations appear to confirm that the law is indeed universal, affecting all natural processes in the long run. Again, evolutionism requires that physical laws and atoms organize themselves into increasingly complex and beneficial ordered arrangements. And thus, over eons of time, billions of things are supposed to have developed upwards, becoming more orderly and complex. But this law of entropy reveals the exact opposite. Now, this is an irreversible downward trend, ultimately at work in throughout the universe. And so we see that evolution, with its theory of increasing order and complexity, appears impossible in the natural world. You know, if evolution were true, there must be an extremely powerful force or mechanism at work that can steadily defeat the powerful and ultimate tendency towards entropy. You know, if such an important force or mechanism is in existence, it would seem that it could be seen by scientists. But yet, the fact is that they have found no such thing. Now, some evolutionists argue that entropy doesn't work because of how the law works. You know, to create any kind of upward complex organization in a closed system requires outside energy and outside information. And so, evolutionists maintain that the second law of thermodynamics does not prevent evolution on Earth, since this planet receives outside energy from the sun. Therefore, they suggest that the sun's energy helped create the life of our beautiful planet. But is this simple addition of energy all that is needed to accomplish such a great feat, such as creating life? Now, think about a living plant and a dead one. You know, can the addition of energy make a completely dead plant alive? You know, a dead plant contains the same basic structures as a living plant. But once the plant has used the sun's energy to temporarily increase its order and grow and produce stems, leaves, roots, flowers, what happens? You know, if there is actually a powerful evolutionary force at work in the universe, and if the open system of Earth makes all the difference, why does the sun's energy not make a truly dead plant become alive again? You know, what actually happens when a dead plant receives energy from the sun? Well, if it's truly dead, the internal organization of the plant's cells deteriorate. It decays. It breaks down into, once again, dirt. And the heat of the sun only helps to speed up this disorganizational process. So, contrary to popular belief, scientists have never created life in a laboratory. What scientists have done is genetically alter or engineer already existing forms of life. And by doing this, scientists have been able to produce new forms of life. However, they did not produce these new life forms from non-living matter. It's impossible. So, furthermore, because the law of entropy, the universe does not have the ability to have sustained itself from all eternity, since all the useful energy in the universe will someday become irreversible and totally useless. That's if the universe went on that long. So the universe cannot be eternal. It requires a beginning. And since energy cannot come into existence from nothing by any natural process, the beginning of the universe must have required, of course, a supernatural origin. And so, in Genesis 1 and verse 1, we are introduced to the recreation of Earth by God. And in Genesis 1 and verse 25, we read that God thought that his creation was good. It was perfect for man. God had set up all that man had needed. But let's notice Genesis 3 and verse 17 and 18. Genesis 3, in the middle of verse 17, it says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." So we see that the perfect world that God had created was now going to be regulated by this law of entropy. We see that man would return to what he had once been, dust when he died. It's also, if you will, turn over to Romans 8 in verse 18 to 21. Romans 8 and verse 18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So we see that Paul understood this law of entropy to be in effect. He understood that the world is in bondage to sin, because sin affects everything. Well, what about 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, which states, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." This is true. God hates confusion. He wants order and peace. So why would the world be in a state of constant decay? Well, the fact is that this is not God's world at this time. Yes, he puts us here and he allows things to happen, but he's allowing man to live his life. He's allowing Satan to rule at this time. But that will change. And so you can read in Revelation 21 and 22 that this will no longer be the case when Christ is here to rule the earth. Things will be healed. Life will be different. It'll once again resemble the earth that God originally created. And that is a time that we look forward to, when hopefully entropy will no longer play a part in this world or our lives.